Scripture today is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 24. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that may we eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, that the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she was well, and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of the meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from the bosom, carried him up to the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying, by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come to him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ for those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. You know, and I was just reading in the hymnal here after we sang, "Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing," that actually the number of stanzas tends to vary. This is actually in the hymnal. But the complete 18 and 17, well, you can be glad that we did 1 through 3, right? And not 18 through 17 or 17 through 18. And this was written by Charles Wesley, and that's another illustration that Methodists really do go on and on sometimes. Which brings me to another point. I got an email, an interesting email from a sister in Christ, and her husband is one of our liturgists, and does a fantastic job. She says, I love that the sermons can be online. You can go ahead and listen to them. She told me an interesting thing that they were witnessing. Their cat listens to the sermons also online. This is a true story. And when her husband is reading, and again, he's an excellent liturgist. Don't we have excellent liturgists? I mean, they do a wonderful, wonderful job. And whenever her human dad is liturgist, she's up and her ears are perked up and she's listening. Then as soon as I start preaching, she lays her head down. So it's a true story. But she did add that the cat doesn't go to sleep, so I'm thankful for that at least. Join with me in prayer. We thank you. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive, breathes life into us. Thank you for how you speak into our lives. And as we've heard those words of Scripture spoken into our lives, word of hope. You are at work, especially when the situation seems desperate and overwhelming. You are at work, and we simply need to be open to how you're going to surprise us with your grace. It's in the name of Christ that we open ourselves to you. Amen. A pretty remarkable story that we heard in Scripture. No question about it. And what's interesting, in the lectionary, which is kind of an order of Scripture that we have each and every Sunday, is that last week was from 1 Kings chapter 18. And it was Elijah trash-talking the prophets of Baal. Remember that? He was trash-talking them, saying, come on, bring your best. Bring it on. My God's bigger than yours. My God is the only true God. This scripture passage occurs before that interaction. And so while last week's scripture was something that was large and bold and powerful and dramatic. You remember last week, and if you look at that scripture in 1 Kings 18, the power of God came down and consumed everything. Everything. Altar, sacrifice, water, everything. Consumed it all. This scripture passage speaks on a more intimate level. Elijah has just challenged King Ahab. And King Ahab's wife, Queen Jezebel, those two have really turned away from God. And those two have really instituted a whole series of idol worship in the nation. And those two have even started persecuting those who believe in the one true God. And Elijah has just brought a message to King Ahab saying, there's going to be a drought. There's going to be a drought. You've turned away from God. And there's going to be challenges and there's going to be problems. And because of your self-centeredness, there's going to be issues. It's going to be death. This is a bold enough statement and move. And Elijah, in this story of Elijah in 1 Kings, kind of goes between boldness and pulling back. Boldness, stepping forward, being a mouthpiece of God, and then kind of pulling back and saying, I'm glad that's done with. It speaks to our faith sometimes and how we live it. Certainly there are times when we feel, yeah, we need to step forward and we need to do this thing at church. Boy, I'm glad that's done. Check that off. I was a good Christian today. Our lives, you see, every breath. Our lives, you see, every moment, every second. We are called to be God's people. Does that mean we're always going to be making the right decisions? No, of course not. Does that mean we're always going to be saying the right thing? No. But are we called to recognize who we belong to every breath, every second? Yeah. Who defines us? It's God and God alone. It's easy to get pulled away from that, isn't it? It really is. It's easy to get distracted. Don't beat yourself up or kick yourself from being distracted away from God. God's still approaching you, still reaching out to you, no question. But this is not a sometimes kind of faith. This is a faith, Christianity. Our faith, the faith of the cross, is an everyday, every moment kind of thing. Think of it this way. God is at work in you every moment. Every breath that you have is a gift from God. So every breath that you take is a reminder of God breathing into your life as well. We're not going to be hard on Elijah, okay? We're not going to be hard on Elijah. Because I think it's important in Scripture to kind of put ourselves in that place. If you had to go up to the most powerful person in the known world and say, you're screwing up, Or even more so, you've turned away from God. So now there are going to be some repercussions. That's a heavy-duty thing, isn't it? That's heavy-duty. The story today, though, is that more intimate story I was mentioning to you, right? About Elijah. And he's told to go back into enemy territory, if you will. He's told to go back into, of all persons, home area, Jezebel. Now, Jezebel and Ahab were ruling, okay? They were setting up altars all over the place, small letter G gods. Idol worship was rampant. All sorts of things were going on. And Elijah is told to go back into her territory. Now, I don't know. After you do something difficult, after you have to say something difficult to someone, something that they might not even like, and it's very uncomfortable, and the tension really fills the air and it's thick, do you then say, hey, let's go out and have some coffee? Let's spend some more time. Let's hang out for the rest of the day. Elijah wants to get out of there, but he's told by God, no, I have something for you to do. I have something more for you to do. And he's already prepared the heart of this widow. Okay, he's already prepared the heart of this widow. And we understand in Scripture that this widow did not really know the one true God, but God still was using her. Remember that. God is beyond our imagination, okay? And how God works is beyond our comprehension. God was preparing this widow, and she had a son. And in that time, and in that place, that meant that she was on the outside of society. That meant that she didn't have resources. In fact, one of the most poignant passages in all of Scripture is what was shared by our brother in Christ whenever it says, the widow says, let me go ahead and just get something for my son and I to eat that we can then die. In other words, leave me alone. I'm at my wit's end. How in the world can you expect such an extraordinary thing from me? Elijah goes and says, not go ahead and eat and then give me some of the leftovers. He says, no, make something for me first. Give me something first. There's a boldness there. Elijah was following God's direction. I'm not sure that he ever could have really imagined those words coming out of his mouth on his own. And yet sometimes God calls us to be bold in our faith and to step forward in ways that we don't know what the outcome is going to be or we don't know what the answer is going to be, but God calls us to be bold nonetheless and trust in Him, not in ourselves, but to trust in God and God alone. What happens? Elijah is fed. The widow and her son are fed as well. But then there's a further part of the story where the son dies. And an amazing thing happens. I can't imagine Elijah being in that home. Can you put yourself into Elijah's place? I mean, being that bold, being that directed, things coming together, by the way, unending oil, unending flour. It's the first all-you-could-eat buffet in history. I mean, you could just go back and back. It never ended. I know I'd get some of your attention whenever I said unending all-you-can-eat buffet. I mean, it was never ending. God's abundance, okay? God providing. God speaking into these lives that are mentioned in Scripture, just like God speaks into our lives in ways that we can never imagine or predict. We cannot predict God because God's grace is more abundant. God's love is more intimate and powerful than we can ever imagine. Ever imagine. The best time that you ever felt with God. The most empowered that you ever felt by God. The most nurture that you ever experienced from knowing God through Jesus Christ. God is so much greater than that. And beyond that, my friends, it's amazing, isn't it? The boy dies. My gosh, the tension is thick in that setting. And what happens? Elijah, again, trusts in God, lays it before God, a dead child in front of him, and he lays over him, literally seeking for anything of God in him to pass into that child, to try to revive that child. It was all about God. Elijah wasn't claiming any sort of power himself. It was all about pointing towards God in this one household, in these individual lives. And new life comes about. Child is brought back to life, but there's new life in that home as well. Do you hear that? Did you get that? That's what we have, a God of new life. Not simply of miracles, a child brought back to life, certainly. It's magnificent, wondrous. But in that home, that widow, that child, now knew the one true God. In our lives, how are we distracted by things that God is much greater than? Think about that in your own life. What kind of distractions pull you away from a God of miracles? A God that literally brings people back to life? What kind of things become your focus in your life? The focus of all of your energy and attention? Other than the God who's speaking into you. Other than the God who is breathing new life into you. Is anything impossible for God? No. Extraordinary things. Wonderful things of faith. A story I want to share with you, in fact, that speaks to this. A story offered by Reverend Dr. Stephen Hayner. And it talks about God working in all sorts of different places. God's grace pouring out into all sorts of different lives. And God surprising people. He's already at work. We're the ones that sometimes just aren't aware. Several years ago, Dr. Hayner says, I met a beautiful young Ugandan teacher by the name of Christine Nakalima. Sitting on a terrace at sunset in Kampala, Uganda, several of us were telling our stories. When it came to Christine, she said that her life wasn't very interesting. She told us about growing up in a rural village of Bokita. When she was 5 years old, and her sister Harriet was 7, and her little brother was 4, her parents both died within 3 months of each other of AIDS. She and her brother and sister lived for nearly 2 years on their own. 7, 5, and 4-year-olds. No parents, only the food they could scavenge from the fertile Ugandan countryside. No one to care for them. And often huddling in the corner of their mud and wattle hut because the roof would no longer hold out the rain. When I asked why there wasn't anyone to care for them, she said that most of the adults in their rural area had died of AIDS too. But eventually, they found a local priest who was helping with an international relief and development organization to make a census of orphaned and vulnerable children in that district. Not far away, actually it is far away, Australia. Uganda and Australia are pretty far away from each other. A teacher named Julianne DeBastide had seen an ad for this mission organization on TV and had decided that she would use a little of her new salary to sponsor a child. It was a small step of faith for her, but she was matched up with Christine in far away Uganda. This mission organization built the children a new home, ensured that there was enough food and clothes, and paid for their school fees. When Christine's brother got very sick, he got medical attention, though later he tragically died. The girls became part of a local church where some other older children and an aging minister also helped them, and they began to take conscious steps towards faith. Julianne in far-off Australia continued to pray for and to sponsor Christine throughout her high school years. And then, when asked if she would continue to sponsor her, Julianne helped Christine to go to teacher college because she was a very gifted young person. When the doctor who had been writing this article had met Christine, she and her sister Harriet had been teaching for several years in a school in Bokeda, where she grew up. She was now educating a whole new generation of children. If it not had been for God's love, you know, I would be dead. If I had survived childhood, I would have probably been forced into prostitution as a teenager, only to die of AIDS before I was 20. Instead, she is now changing history in her village, one step of faith at a time. There is no act of faithfulness which is too small to be unusable in the hand of God. Did that widow realize that being willing to trust in an incredible question, a person that she'd never met before, and being willing to step out in faith, did she realize that that would eventually lead to new life for her and her son? Probably not at the moment. But that happens with each and every one of us as well. Remember, sometimes, like Elijah, we're called to be bold, to step forward to truly trust God, and to go into situations that might not even be comfortable for us. Like the widow and her son, but especially the widow, sometimes we're called to trust God whenever somebody approaches us, and to have just a little bit of faith, and to step forward in that faith, not relying on ourselves, not relying on our own wisdom or knowledge, not relying on our own strength, but trusting in the strength of the God who is at work in our lives through Jesus Christ. Are you willing to be bold in your faith? Are you willing to trust just a little bit? Are you willing to understand that God can do immense and wondrous things with just a little faith, a little trust? I'd invite you to join with me in a time of prayer, thinking about how God is asking us to trust Him now. Thinking about how God is asking us to trust Him, maybe with just a small step, being willing to step forward in boldness, knowing God's love is at work in our lives.